Most years we cannot wait until the Steelers reach training camp because that gives us a much-needed reprieve from baseball season. That means the Pirates have gone south in the standings. Watching the games on a nightly basis either feels like a chore or we don't watch them at all. We are just chomping at the bit to reach football season, and a big stepping stone to that is the beginning of training camp. Well, guess what, folks? It is most years. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight until 10:35. We are live from Dino's in Latrobe, just up the hill from St. Vincent College, the Steelers' longtime training camp home. T-Bird and Gabe here with me, keeping us all together. Joel Nelson is back behind the glass in Green Tree. A fun show planned for you guys tonight. The 8 p.m. hour will feature a Latrobe man himself. Mike DeFabo will join the show. Mark Cabali will hop on from 9 until 10. Jeff Hathorn will join us in about 25 minutes. It's going to be a very football-heavy show because that is the mood we are in tonight. And it's all coming to you live from Dino's in Latrobe. Stop in and cool down with an ice-cold Miller Lite. All training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smail Kia and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schleideck, and New Flow Men's Health. I'm excited to be here. I did a camp show here last year, and I was surrounded by a lot of family and friends the same way I am tonight. So a pretty cool setting for me to be in. If you listen to the station at all, you know I am a proud Westmoreland County guy. I grew up in a little town called New Alexandria, about 7 miles from where I am sitting right now. So this is pretty cool. And the trips to training camp, we're always cool, living so close. There would be a few trips per year out to SVC to watch the team practice. A lot of great memories with parents, grandparents, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, you name it. Many other people out there have those same memories. Many of you may be driving back from camp right now from Latrobe to wherever your domain is. The school itself, it has a special place in my heart. I have several good friends, a few of them here tonight that went there, played football there. I've also called their football games for almost a decade now. And it means so much to this town. I think that is a cool underlying thing every year that the Steelers have their training camp practices at St. Vincent College. We heard during COVID the rumblings that the Black and Gold should just end their relationship and practice out of their own facility or at the stadium. And I'm so glad that they didn't. I'm so glad it never reached that point because the Steelers should never leave St. Vincent as their campsite. Only a few teams around the NFL do the quaint, small college location for training camp anymore. Joel, maybe this is something you could find during one of the breaks tonight. I think there are only like 3 or 4 teams that do something like the Steelers do, where it is the small local school that they have training camp at. And it's just something that's special for this pocket of Western Pennsylvania, for the people that live here, for the businesses that are here, like the one we are at tonight at Dino's. And these guys can live in a dorm room for a couple of weeks. They all went to college. I'm not going to feel bad for millionaires that have to rough it for a few weeks in Rooney Hall. In a way, that's probably fun for some of those guys, too. You see when they show up, they will bring their PS5, whatever it may be. They'll have a game night with the boys, whatever. It's almost like they are in college again. This is a bigger camp for some guys than others. This could be the final camp for some guys. It's the first camp for the rookies, and it's the first camp for a handful of guys making their debuts in the black and gold, and a lot of notable names because of the exciting offseason that the Steelers had. But if you think about how big of a training camp this is for a few players, how big of a season this is for a few players, I think Broderick Jones is a guy that's around the top of that list. Not that he's at any sort of risk of getting cut before we reach the season, but this is a season that will tell the tale for the rest of his NFL career. I tend to think his move to left tackle will pay off. I like the prospect of him playing there and staying there more often than what he did in his first two seasons, where he kind of moved around. He played a lot of right tackle. If you recall that first season for him, his rookie year, a game when the Steelers played the Ravens, one that included some late-game heroics from former Kenny Pickett and George Pickens, Broderick Jones started at left tackle that day and did a pretty admirable job. I don't know if he's the next Anthony Munoz. I'm not going to say that, but I do think that he will have a better season at left tackle than what he had to deal with and work with in his first couple of seasons. And he should know that there is some added pressure in what he does on the field in 2025. The other tackle, Troy Fautanu, he doesn't quite fall under that same vein because he was displaced due to injury and not poor play. We just didn't see much of the guy. But what we did see, at least I thought, was pretty good football. And I thought that was a good stepping stone for him to build upon this season. Now, the fun fact about both of those players is that Jones is actually younger than Fautanu by about 6 months, even though Jones has a whole extra year of NFL service time. I would say this is a pretty big camp for players like Connor Hayward, DeMarvin Leal, Mark Robinson, among others. You know, those guys that are on the line of the 53-man roster. Guys that could likely have a home elsewhere around football if they are not in Pittsburgh this season, but they will be borderline roster guys over these next few weeks. Hayward finds himself in quite the crowded room of tight ends. Three of those guys are pretty much locks to make the roster. Freiermuth is an easy one. Smith is an easy one. And I think Darnell Washington is also an easy one because of what he can bring on the blocking side of the game and how good he is when he stays in to block on pass downs or when he does block on rundowns. The man is basically an extra tackle. Will they keep four of them? Hayward plays a key role on special teams, which could buy him life on the roster, but the way the Steelers talked about it and talked about using Jonnu Smith, it sounds a whole lot like how they were using Hayward. Smith is just a superior player. So if they do the same thing with Jonnu Smith that they were doing with Connor Hayward, it might make it difficult for Hayward to be a man on the 53. But I would say, if I had to bet on it right now, that Connor Hayward does make the roster. As silly as it would sound, I do think his brother being a team captain and him being of use on special teams certainly helps his favor, but I would not say it's a lock right now. And I feel a little bit less confident about the next guy, DeMarvin Leal. He falls into that gap on the defensive line. I forgot the guy was even on the roster last year. It was hard not to. I may be alone in thinking that, but I have a feeling I'm not. We got to, what, like week 14 or 15 last year, and I forgot the dude was even on the team. He was a guy drafted in the middle rounds a few years ago that felt like a steal for the Steelers. At one point in the early mock drafts of his year, he was a high first-round pick, like a top 10 caliber talent. And he's a tweener. And they had to figure out how to use him on the defensive line. Is he a defensive end? Is he more of an interior defensive lineman? The reports today is that he's been solely, or he at least was solely working at outside linebacker, more of an edge rusher. Maybe that is where his future is, but that's another crowded room because that is where the Steelers' best position is. The Steelers' edge rushers are loaded. They just re-signed T.J. Watt. He's not going anywhere. Alex Highsmith has been locked up. He's not going anywhere. Nick Herbig, Jack Sawyer, they are not going anywhere. So Leal has to figure out what he is best at, and I don't think they can keep doing the tweener thing with him, or else this poor guy will find himself out of a job in the NFL, and maybe he could be discovered by somebody else. There's certainly a chance of that, but at least his time in Pittsburgh could come to an end, and you have to ask yourself, did they waste the opportunity that they had with a player like him? because so far they haven't used what they've had. And Carl Dunbar, the defensive line coach, he's a good coach, a very good position coach with a good track record of building some young talent. So that tells me there's something with the player that's not fully clicking there. But the necessary depth at that position on the defensive line, and I guess the fact that he can be utilized in multiple different ways, that could be something that keeps him on the roster. Because a defensive line in the NFL, it's almost like a pitching staff in Major League Baseball. You may think you have enough, but you never do. We talk about the Pirates pitchers all the time, how many pitchers they have, how many young pitchers they have coming up through their pipeline. You never have enough. You could have a surplus, and it could be a strength of your roster, but if you want to last over the course of a season, it just feels like you need as many bodies as humanly possible. And there are a plethora of guys that might not make the roster out of camp. Notable guys. Only 53 will, and we are only one day in to training camp. And remember, all of the cuts now happen at the same time, at the end of the process. But if we want to talk about new guys, guys that aren't at risk of missing out on the roster, Aaron Rodgers, the top dog to start with. He plays the game's most important position. He is the most decorated quarterback Mike Tomlin will have ever coached. And that's not a shot at Ben Roethlisberger, who is a Hall of Famer in his own right, but Aaron Rodgers is a four-time league MVP. But this isn't MVP Rodgers. At least we don't think it is. I don't think it is, at least. Funny enough, you saw the videos coming out from practice. He threw an interception on his first snap of team period, and that got a bunch of laughs on social media. And I think his practice stat line after the game, it was like 1-for-3 or 1-for-4 with an interception. I don't really take those into account at all. If the Steelers had some sort of quarterback derby where that could actually be held with some weight, you know, if they were in the Browns situation where it was just four quarterbacks who may not be able to get out of their own way, then maybe those practice stats would actually mean something. But for a guy that we know is entrenched as the starter, it doesn't matter. All I'm worried about is Aaron Rodgers not pushing a blocking sled this year and missing the first 6 weeks of the season. Let's try to make sure that doesn't happen. But I'm also not believing that either party wanted each other first and foremost. And this is something that we've had conversations about as the offseason has gone on. I'm aware of what Omar Khan said yesterday, but we've heard from enough people that the Steelers wanted Matt Stafford, and then they wanted Justin Fields. And then they fell for Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers waited around. And I think that was for a team like the Minnesota Vikings. If J.J. McCarthy wasn't healthy, oh, he gets to play with Kevin O'Connell. And O'Connell, he just orchestrated a 14-win season with Sam Darnold as his quarterback. What if McCarthy wasn't healthy? Maybe I could play with an offensive mastermind. I could really go out the Brett Favre way. That could have been Rodgers' headspace. And if it wasn't them, what if the Rams didn't bring back Matt Stafford? I bet Aaron Rodgers would have been a nice backup situation for Sean McVay and that team in L.A., who is pretty win-ready and I think a threat to win the whole thing. The way that team is constructed and with Matt Stafford playing the way he is, it would be a downgrade for them at QB, but that team, still, you insert a player like Aaron Rodgers and they're probably a double-digit win team. So it's almost as if the match made in heaven was each party's third option. For the Steelers and for Aaron Rodgers. DK Metcalf, he'll be another favorite to watch over the next few weeks, including his battles with Jalen Ramsey. Get your popcorn ready for that, because those guys, when they countered Barbs as opponents the last handful of seasons and some matchups when Ramsey was in L.A. and Metcalf was still in Seattle. Those should be fun to watch. Metcalf takes the place of George Pickens. It feels like the Steelers got the better end of that unofficial exchange. But what I worry about with Metcalf is that he has always had another pretty good wide receiver as his counterpart. Tyler Lockett, 1,000-plus yards in every season from 2019 through 2022. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 100 receptions last year, over 1,100 yards. Metcalf has put up good numbers, don't get me wrong, and he's been a number one guy before, but now he lacks that true big-time wide receiver two that he has had in his entire career in Seattle. Does Calvin Austin fill that void? How much are we counting on Roman Wilson? We hear so many things about Roman Wilson when they are in the football and shorts period of the offseason. The guy played about five snaps in 2024. I liked him at Michigan, but he has to bounce back and he has to prove that in a big way. And is he ready to step in and be a team's number two receiver? That's pretty tough to ask. I don't think Robert Woods is that player anymore. A couple of years ago, sure. But let's be honest with ourselves. So Metcalf has never had that void next to him the way that he does right now. There are some good tight ends on this roster, however. Jonnu Smith, who was part of that blockbuster trade with the Dolphins. You know that I like Pat Freiermuth. You can still check out that episode of Breaking Bread, by the way, on our fan YouTube page. A great little chat with him. But can they be that other big threat in the pass game? Can that be Smith? Can that be Freiermuth? Can it be a mix of both of them? Can one of those guys be that wide receiver too? Because that's what we heard so much about when the trade took place and Jonnu Smith was part of it with Miami. It was, oh, well, he'll play the role of wide receiver too. You're asking yourself a lot, or you're asking your tight end, your new tight end, a lot to step in and just be the team's second-best wide receiver. And I understand he had career numbers across the board last year with Miami. That's still asking a lot for a guy who does not play receiver to be the team's second-best receiver. They will have to go to the old-school method like we saw the New England Patriots do in the early 2010s, and they'll have to be the light version of that because certainly with the players they have, with Smith and Freiermuth, I'm not going to say that those guys are the caliber that Gronkowski and Hernandez were in New England, but the way that you're building this team, it has to be something like that. It's going to be a lot of 12 and 13 personnel with those two guys on the roster, and then you even mix in Darnell Washington, and again, we'll see if Connor Hayward has a home on this team. The secondary is where we saw a big improvement at corner, but a drop-off at safety. And that all came about with that trade involving Jalen Ramsey and Minkah Fitzpatrick. The Saints, they signed Julian Blackmon yesterday. That was a move I would have liked to see the Steelers make. Only 1 year for about $5.5 million. I'm not sure we want the Steelers putting all of their chips into the Juan Thornhill basket, and I'm not sold that they will, considering Thornhill is coming off a bad year in Cleveland. And as frustrating as it was for Minkah Fitzpatrick to play about 30 yards off the line of scrimmage last year, that is what made it possible for Deshaun Elliott to do his thing and be one of the best players in the defense in 2024. And I know that Omar Khan said yesterday that he's not very confident in what, I wouldn't say not very confident, but it sounds like they will do something at safety. They aren't just going to forge ahead with Juan Thornhill, which is a good thing because it will not be pretty if we go into week one and they are putting their hopes all into him. And I think Deshaun Elliott and his game will suffer because of it, if that is the case. But with the current construction back there, Elliott won't have the freedom that he had. But when it comes to corner, that position is unquestionably better. It is a big year for Joey Porter Jr. And they surrounded him with two of the best corners of the 2010s. They collected some football cards here, kind of like they've done with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, but I think Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey still have some good football in them. Ramsey was objectively a good football player last season, and Slay was mostly phased out in Philly because they had two of the best rookie corners in football. One of them had a pick six in the Super Bowl. And even then, he still made some big plays for that Super Bowl defense. He had a big interception in the wild card round of the playoffs against the Packers. Those guys can help Porter and hopefully take that ever-important next step to becoming a legit NFL corner. But going back to those tight ends, it'll be fun to see how they mix Jonnu Smith into the offense coming off his career year across the board, receptions, yards, touchdowns. He was a great safety blanket for the quarterbacks in Miami because they had to deal with a Tua injury, and that sort of benefited Smith more than anybody. The rookie class is always a Hope Springs Eternal type feeling. I think Derek Harmon is going to start right away, as he should. We saw what happened in that playoff game last season and why that pick was so important. Caleb Johnson was a darling of the football and shorts portion of the offseason, and I don't rule out him taking over the majority of carries by the time we reach the midway point of the season. But he fits the offense better than Najee Harris, and I think he and Jaylen Warren will complement each other quite well. The Ohio State guys will always come with hype. They won the national championship last season. Jack Sawyer made one of the biggest plays of the entire college football season in the semifinal round against Texas. Will Howard was outstanding in the playoffs, and he feels like a kid that got picked in round six that already has unfair expectations, and that's really no fault of his own. There will likely be an undrafted guy that comes out of nowhere that gets a lot of love. Jaylen Warren was that guy a couple of years ago. Beanie Bishop was that guy last season. Maybe Sebastian Castro is that guy in the defensive backfield this year. I don't know. But we're looking at really just an encapsulation of how things will break out this camp. And maybe you're driving back home. Maybe you're in transit from work to end your Thursday. Maybe you're out on your back deck listening to the show. Maybe you're somewhere inside Dino's in Latrobe with the app on listening to this. And if you're questioning anything about it, you can join the conversation at 412-928-9370. You know the number to chime in. That's also the number of our fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there is never a fee unless we get money for you. We will have a Hawk report from our very own Jeff Hathorn coming up. Jeff was boots on the ground at practice. He's actually still over there as we speak. Jeff will join us in just a few minutes. We are live from Dino's in Latrobe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.